preaching this morning is very much left of it to be preached, so I'm going to do my best to be brief and share what the Lord's laid on my heart. But God's not through, church. If you thought he was through, I'm just here to tell you that God's not through. And in fact, God picked up right where he left off, so to speak. And I think that there was a question on a lot of folks' minds as you came into the house of God this morning, because I sensed it in our demeanor as church began to get started as to how was the service going to go. Because we left off a string of services in which God was moving. And the way he had been moving was in a very serious fashion and dealing with core issues of the heart. And I could sense that there was an anticipation, but there was also a just setting back for somebody to make a move. To see what was going to happen when we picked back up. Well, I come to tell you tonight that God's not interested in stopping what he's been doing. And he exhibited that this morning in the fact that he opened the door and he let it loose. And he began to go right back to where he was dealing with our hearts. Was it 5 Sundays ago or 6 Sundays ago? I lost count. Tell Brother Larry's face, he lost count too. So, just with you. But God's not interested in going back. And so, as he began to lay this thought on my heart, and it's just a thought. It ain't even really a message. It's just a thought. But I just want to preach for just a little bit this evening on forward. Just forward. And honestly, that was the theme of this morning's message, was forward, forward. So I want to go to read John chapter 21, verses 2 through 3. You find that portion of scripture, you can stand with us. See, that's different than Facebook at home. Yeah, if you try to stand up in your car, you're sticking your head out the sunroof, hitting the horn, we're thinking you're saying praise God, and you're just really saying, I don't fit between the messing with you this morning. I do want to say thank you for tuning into Sunday School Live and the comments that was on there. It really helped me, and sometimes I couldn't keep up with all of them. It's hard to teach and watch yourself about 5 seconds delayed. And then the comments are about 20 seconds after that. But I appreciate you getting in with that, because it made it a lot easier to do it. And I do appreciate that. John chapter 21, verses 2 through 3 says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you to God for the sound of Sunday. I thank you, Lord, we're able to gather once again, Lord, as a body of believers in your house. Lord, and that your presence has been here. Lord, I pray to God you anoint me to preach this message, Lord, this thought that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to God you encourage us, stir us to God, and continue to work, Lord, your perfect work within us. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Forward, I just want you to keep that thought on your mind. As we begin to read the last chapter of John here, this is the only actual recording of this story of all the Gospels. John's the only one that actually recorded this. But he was there, and he was an eyewitness, and he was actually a part of this whole story that we're going to run through this evening. But at this time, Jesus had shown himself to the disciples on 3 separate occasions. And so this is after the resurrection. We've studied about the road to Emmaus in Sunday school, and this is after that. But there was a little bit of time there where Jesus didn't make himself visible to the disciples. And so Simon Peter, he's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. Anybody twiddle their thumbs over the past 5 weeks? Well, I have heard it said, our church is filled with a lot of essential workers. That's a good thing. That means you still have a job. I didn't stop. Brother Lucas didn't stop. Brother Larry didn't stop. You didn't go into the office near as much, but your phone still rang, and the email still came in. And how many's electricity worked? Okay, praise the Lord. That means, he said, we did a good job. Even in all the storms we had, we never lost the power. So we're filled with essential workers. And for the most part, a lot of us haven't sat around just twiddling our thumbs with really nothing to do. But we kind of begin to find that the disciples were in a state of limbo. They were coming out of a time of which their life had been consumed by ministry. It had been consumed by following Christ. It had culminated in his death. Now they knew he was alive, but now they didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. And so Simon Peter's just not one of those guys that just sits around and waits for something to happen. Lord bless those folks. Simon says, you know, boys, I'm going to go fishing. And so Thomas says, me too. And Nathaniel says, I'm going too. And the sons of Zebedee, who's that? James and John. They said, I'm going too. And two of the other disciples, I don't know, my mind just likes to wonder a little bit. They may have grabbed old Matthew, the tax collector, and they said, we're going to take him on an all-night fishing trip. That old city boy. I don't know. But I begin to find that they go out and they go fishing. And so they go forth and they enter a ship immediately. They didn't waste no time. They said, boy, let's go. You know, they're sitting around. Let's go. Let's go do something. And they fished all night and they caught nothing. I want to bring something out here. Our nature is to result to the familiar after an interruption of our current lives. There's been a lot of changes, church, that have happened in the last 5 to 6 weeks in our lives. There's been a change of pattern of how we live. There's been a change of pattern of how we go about our day-to-day activities. There have been a change in pattern of churches. There's been a lot of changes that have went on that have interrupted the current flow of our lives. Even as an essential worker, we're still going out. There's a lot of things that have just got interrupted. For me personally, I have nowhere to meet customers. We've got a list of customers, 4 customers that are just waiting to talk to us when we get a place to be able to meet and can even meet. And so I begin to find, though, that after interruption of when you're just go, and all of a sudden you have an interruption, that's a major interruption, that when things begin to resume, it becomes our natural state to resume to what has been familiar. Well, you say, well, Brother Jason, they've been walking with Christ for 3.5 years. Yeah, but they've been fishing for 20 or 25. Their walk with Christ was still new. The things that he had been teaching them was still new. This whole idea of a kingdom was still new. I got a scratch in my throat and this is not going away. And so we begin to find that when there's an interruption, it becomes easy for us to go back to what is familiar. And so for Peter and Andrew and some of these other disciples, they just didn't really know where to go next. And so they decided, well, we're just going to go back to what we always did, fishing. Was there anything wrong with fishing? No, nothing wrong with fishing. What were they called to be, though? Disciples and fishers of what? Men. They had already been given direction. And in fact, as you begin to read your Bible, you begin to find they'd already been sent out once during Christ's ministry, in which they went out 2 by 2. And they had preached and they went through the villages and there was demons cast out. There was people healed. There was revival that happened and they came back praising God for the great things that God had done. It wasn't like they didn't have direction, but yet it seems that after everything that they had been through and such a major interruption of the pattern of their lives for the last 3.5 years, they suddenly lacked a little direction. So 7 out of 11 disciples decide they're going to go fishing. That's a majority. Which means none of them knew where to go. But when they got out there and they began to fish, they discovered that for some reason, they weren't catching nothing. Now, I've been fishing a lot. I've caught a lot of nothing before. And ain't no fun when you catch a lot of nothing. Some people like to fish just because they like to be out there. I like to fish to be out there for about an hour. If they're not biting after that, there's something else to be done. It wasn't that they weren't good fishermen. In fact, I think that probably these disciples were some of the best fishermen of the Sea of Galilee. That's my personal opinion. But when God calls, He's going to call the best. They fished all night and they caught nothing. We pick up in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Once again, what do we find here? Jesus was hiding His character from them again. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered Him, no. Do you have any luck? That's how we put it. We go, no. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Toiled all night. And then long comes Jesus in the middle of their kind of wondering, a little aimlessly, not sure which direction they need to head. And where do we find Jesus in the middle of all this? He's standing on the shore and He's asking them, how's it going? Church, if we're not careful, we can resort back to the way it used to be. And if we're not careful, we can allow this time of departure out of the house of God to cause such an interruption in what God was doing in your life in the house of God that you can find yourself in a state of just not sure which direction you're supposed to be headed. And we find Jesus comes and He asks Him, well, how's it going? You're going to find that Christ comes to you in those times and He's going to sit there kind of beside you and He's going to ask you the same question. And it's going to be kind of like, what are you doing here? Or how's this working out for you? Or are you tired of doing it on your own? Some things kind of like that. And they answered, they said, no, we ain't had no luck. It's not going good. We've been out here all night. Apparently we don't know how to fish. You ever come to God and just kind of tell God, God, apparently, I guess I don't know how to live for You. And He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And we find that they cast therefore. Why would they have listened? Why would they listen to the guy standing on the bank? If you're in the boat, you fished all night. Somebody walks up on the bank. Well, why don't you just try the other side of the boat? We'd be like, we done tried both sides of the boat all night long. What do you think we're trying to do out here? Just sit? Whatever the reason was, they cast the net on the other side of the boat, and immediately it filled with fishes, a multitude of fishes. I'm going to stop right there. Something sparked in their memory at this occurrence. Because this wasn't the first time that they have been told to cast their net on the other side of the boat. It wasn't the first time that they had been out all night and caught nothing. This wasn't the first time that they had been caught in a boat wandering aimlessly. This was not the first time that Christ had come and visited them in their time of need and gave them some instruction. It was deja vu, so to speak. And so we begin to find that one in the boat, the disciple whom Jesus loved, says unto Peter, it is the Lord. And all of a sudden, I don't think that they recognized who He was because they saw Him. They recognized him because of what happened. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we come to a point in our life where we're wandered a little aimlessly. And sometimes we're just not really motivated like we should be. And maybe it's become a little easy just to sit at the house and tune into the Facebook Live whenever you want to. We can watch it backlogged. We can watch it in our PJs. We can watch it drinking coffee. We can watch it anytime. We can do anything that we want. And it's easy to become lax in our Christian walk because we don't have the accountability of a congregation sitting around us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for Facebook Live, and I'm thankful that we were able to use it as a tool. But I can tell you something. From my personal life, I don't get near as fired up when I'm sitting there watching somebody's Facebook Live. And in fact, you know what half the time we're doing? Man, I visited 20 churches a couple Sundays ago. 20 churches. That's exactly right. Now I pop on their church because everybody was doing one. And maybe I'm the only one that did this, but I pop on it and I'd be like, yep, that's their first one. Oh, they've been doing it a while. Oh, man, that one's pretty good. Oh, that's a brand new Facebook account. It's easy to become disengaged when you haven't been in God's house. Not trying to be hard on nobody tonight, but what I'm trying to do is that if we're not careful, we're not going to fall right back into step where God was. And so I begin to find that Christ came to them and something sparked their mind because they were sitting out there and they were going through the motions of something that was familiar to them. But it wasn't what God had called them to do. And we begin to find that all of a sudden John is snapped in his mind first. And he's like, we've been here. We've done this before. That's the master. And Peter jumps up and he girded his fisher's coat unto him. You ever wonder why we wear our clothes when we swim? This is a good verse for it right here. Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He got dressed to go swimming. And he began to swim to the shore. This marked Peter's whole life. It was spontaneity. John was excited. His heart leaped because he recognized him. Peter's heart jumped because he knew he needed to be in his presence. And so the other disciples came in a little ship, but Peter's already hooking it for the shore. Because Peter already knew in his heart that he didn't belong in the fishing boat. He had been caught in the fishing boat. But he didn't belong in the fishing boat. And so he jumped out of that boat and he began to make it for the shore. We find that the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. I've got to hurry. And fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. This is what's wonderful about this, is even in the middle of them wondering where they shouldn't have been and wander a little aimlessly and not doing what they had been instructed to do, God still blessed them in such a way. Because once again, I want you to keep in mind, the familiar was not sin. It just wasn't what they were called to do. Be careful that you lay your hand to something that's familiar, but you know it's not wrong, but it ain't, or isn't, there we go, what you're called to be doing. And so they came in with great fishes, not little fishes, great fishes, 153. Ever wondered why they counted all the fishes? This was the last major fishing haul that they would ever be on. Because from this point on, there was only one direction, church, and that was forward. They have been called to leave their nets behind. They've been called to leave those boats behind. They've been called to leave that sea behind because God was calling them into a position of forward. But they brought them all in, and there were so many, yet that was the net not broken. Imagine that. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus didn't look like Jesus. This is what I'm going to tell you right here. His physical countenance, his what he had always looked like, that's not what he looked like in this instance. They didn't know him because they recognized him. They knew him by how he dealt with them. There wasn't a one of them sitting around there out of those seven disciples. They were looking at somebody that visually they did not recognize. But yet spiritually, their hearts beat together. Let me tell you something, church. We live in a generation and a day of show me and I'll believe. But God's looking for a generation of Christians who will rise up and say, I felt him and I believe. Amen. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now skipped a verse in there, but when they came there, there was already a fire of coals there and the fish was already laid on. They didn't use the fish that they caught to eat. Christ already had the meal prepared. He had everything laid out there. Because the meal wasn't the lesson today. The lesson was forward. Jesus met them where they were and communed with him. It was a rekindling of the experience that they had been having for the past 3 years that had transformed their lives. But it wasn't to remain this way forever. This is what I want to point out to you. That for the last 3.5 years, they felt like that was the way it was always going to be. And part of the reason why they felt so lost was the fact that it wasn't that way no more. So you go from the old familiar to something new, but all of a sudden this new is not what's going to happen now. Do you see the progression that's going on here? And so they're feeling a little lost, so they resort back all the way to familiar. That's what we do as human beings, when we don't quite understand the direction, we go all the way back to familiar. And so the last 3.5 years, that had been a great time. But that's not how it was going to be going forward. And we find in verse 15, let's pick up there. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Or feed my lambs. I'm jumping on my verses there. I want to pause there just for a minute. There's a lot of schools of thought on what he's referring to. On lovest thou more than these. Whether he's referring to the other disciples. Or whether he's referring to the boats and the nets. Honestly, it doesn't matter what he's referring to. Because anything that you love more than God shouldn't belong there. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. There's a lot of schools of thought on why he asked him three times. A lot of people think it's because he denied him three times. Honestly, don't know. But what I do know is what was happening here was that Jesus was challenging Peter on what his forward direction was going to be. And really what he was asking him was, Peter, these last 3.5 years, you've grown a lot. But do you love me more than what you used to be? Church, it's easy to get comfortable in what used to be. And it's also easy to get comfortable in what used to be new. But what was fixing to happen to Simon Peter was something that was so much better than what he had just been through. But the question remains, is Peter, are you going to go forward? And that's the heartbeat of the service this morning, was a question that's posed. Are you going to go forward? You say, well, I don't know what forward looks like. Neither did Peter. You see, Jesus had him here, though, because Jesus had come and he visited him. He knocked his heart's door. He got his attention. He said, hey, Peter, you listen to me. And then he began to question him, and question him in such a way that it grieved Peter's heart, because he was questioning his very motives. What is your motive, Peter, for loving me? What's your motive tonight, church, for loving Jesus? What's your real reason? What drives you? What pushes you? What stirred you to come back to the house of God when the doors were opened? How much do you love the Lord tonight? And he goes on verse 18, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, this is very important, church, follow me. This is the second calling of Peter. 3.5 years later, from the first time that Jesus walked up to him and pulled him out of his boat and called him from his nets, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And now 3.5 years later, Peter's back in his boat, stretching his nets. But this time something's different, church. This time Peter has experienced something he's never experienced before. And this time Peter stepped up and he said, Lord, I love you. And the Lord said, follow me. But Peter wasn't done yet. Then Peter turned it about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast to supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Boy, is it always within us to say, well, what about John? Jesus said, Timmy, I want you to follow me. Timmy said, well, what about Isaac? He said, Brother Mike, I want you to follow me. He says, well, what about Brother Charles? It's within our nature to always wonder who else is following. Who else is doing? Who else is going? Who else is participating? You ever been invited to dinner or an event? You're like, well, who else is coming? Why do you ask that? Because you're trying to make a decision on if you want to go or not. But let me tell you this. When something's important to you, you don't care who's going. Because it's not about the people. It's about the event. Let me tell you something, church. Whew. Felt the Holy Ghost on that a little bit. When you start serving God for Him, not for the people, you're not going to be wondering about where's John. Because the only thing that you're going to be seeing is Him. Forward, church, forward. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Forward. He said, basically, he said, if John lives forever, How is that going to impact your decision today? Follow me forward. The call was for Peter to go forward. The call to the church is to go forward. There was a next chapter waiting for Peter. You know what chapter that was? That chapter was the "this is that" chapter. And I'm not going to preach on the "this is that" chapter because I don't have time tonight. But let me tell you something, church. We're coming out of a time in which we've had a break. We're coming out of a time in which the things are different. And I believe that some people's lives may not look the same after this time. But don't let it be said of us that we set back and we went back to the way familiar used to be. That we go back to relying on the way that we've always done it. But let us rise up in our hearts and say today that I'm moving forward. Whatever God has in store for me, I desire it in my heart. I want to have it in my life. My direction is forward. Amen. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano this evening. Forward, church. Forward. Time's going to tell what impacts these drive-in services have had. You say, well, we didn't have no new visitors in church this morning. No, we didn't. That's okay. You say, well, there was other churches that had drive-in services around town. That's correct. None of them had as many as we did. We had the first one. There was people that came in those drive-up services that probably wouldn't have darkened the doors of this church as quickly as they came to that drive-up service. God's, and I know we've been preaching this, but bear with me. God's fixing to do something different again. He's been doing something different. He's been doing a new thing. He's been stirring our hearts. He's been stirring our souls. He's been getting us ready. But I do believe that ready is going to look something different than getting ready. And I sensed it this morning that there's a hesitation in our hearts for which direction it's headed now. And I get that. I understand that because we've come through dealing with something that nobody knows really how to deal with it. There's no good information on it. Everybody has an opinion, and everybody's opinion is different. Imagine that. We don't know whether it's dangerous. We don't know if it's not dangerous. We don't know if it's a conspiracy, if it's not a conspiracy. We just don't know. And many times when we get in positions where we don't know, it becomes very easy to pull back to the things that we do know. Let me tell you something, church. I don't want to go back to just the things that I do know. Because God's fixing to blow something wide open. And I'm not just talking in our church. I'm talking in the church in general. I'm talking about churches that they never have had any form of outreach whatsoever, ever. That all of a sudden they saw a need for a new form of outreach. He said, well, we've been doing Facebook Live forever. That's one thing for us. But for some churches, that was a major step to open up what's inside their church walls and let the world see it. That's the first step of evangelism, church. It's taking what we have in here and taking it out there. But the purpose of taking it out there is to bring them from out there into here. This whole thing, whether I know it's in the hand of the Lord, but it's been orchestrated to stir some people to get past some of the ways that they've always seen it and the ways that they've always done it. But my fear, really my concern, is for churches that have moved past that. And we've went out. And we've seen what's out there. That we come back in. And we don't pick up where God left us. And keep moving forward. We don't want to lose momentum, church. We got to keep it going forward. He said, "What's? It's the first Sunday back in church. I can't shout on the first Sunday back in church." Let me tell you something. I sat on that bass guitar. You can stand to your feet. I'm closing. I'm getting done. I sat on that bass guitar, and the feeling of Sunday that I've been missing so much welled up in my heart. I don't know what your feeling of Sunday's like, but here's kind of what my feeling of Sunday's like. When you're playing, and you're just playing, you know, like you do every Sunday. But then all of a sudden you move past just playing, and you begin to think about who you're playing to. And in the way it works for me is that when I begin to think about the Lord while I'm playing, there's a feeling that just begins to just well up in my heart. And it begins to poke some tears out my eyes. You may see a little tear come out my eye and run down my cheek while I'm playing. I don't want you to watch me while I'm playing. I'm just telling you this is how it works for me. And when I begin to feel the Lord, I begin to play a little bit louder. You probably recognize that. And I begin to play with some enthusiasm. I begin to get a little excited about maybe getting that lick down on that bass just a little bit. He said, "Well, that's just Brother Jason getting wild." I want to tell you something about that. When I get a hold of that bass guitar, I give it everything that I have. And I have spent a lifetime learning to give it more than I have. But out of all the years that I've been playing that bass, and I'm not a phenomenal bass player, I'm a good bass player, but there's a lot that's way better than me. But there's a time where I move past what I play, and I enter a position to where I'm playing for Him, and it's anointed playing. Brother Robert, I felt that this morning. And I knew as God's presence came down and I began to feel Him well up in my soul, that the feeling and the sound of Sunday that I have been missing, it was like a coming home feeling, Brother Larry. And I knew as I walked right back to that position that it didn't matter how we'd had church for the last 5 or 6 weeks, that God was still God. And He was still moving in His church. And there was still something for me to be had in Calvary Lighthouse Church. And as I began to play and I began to think, the only thought that filled my mind was, I'm not going back, but I'm moving ahead. I'm going forward. I tell you what, church, sometimes it's easy to get away from that feeling as we begin to remove ourselves, and maybe we're a little uncomfortable when we come into His house and He begins to touch us in such a way that it begins to stir emotions that may have not been stirred that way for the last 6 weeks. But I want to encourage you, don't hide them, don't tuck them down, don't go back to the where you've been. God's been drawing some stuff out of us. God's been taking some stuff out of us. God's been moving some stuff aside. He's been molding you. He's been making you. He's been shaping you. He's been preparing you for a time that's coming. And I want to encourage you, church, that it's not time to go back. It's not time to sit down, but it's time to move forward. Amen. Gather in this altar tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer. Let God do a work in you. Kneel in your pew wherever you're comfortable. But let me tell you something. Open your heart up. God's not through with you. God's not done with you. God still desires for you to move forward. And if he's got to come find you in your boat, if he's got to come find you dragging that net, he's going to come and he's going to knock your door and he's going to begin to speak some things to your heart, and it's going to sound something like this. Why are you there? Come and follow me. And I want to encourage you tonight, church. Follow him. Follow him.